According to Boots WebMD on the internet, which of course has replaced Encyclopedia Britannica for most of us, worry can lead to difficulty swallowing, dizziness, dry mouth, fast heartbeat, fatigue, headaches, inability to concentrate, irritability, muscle aches, muscle tension, nausea, nervous energy, rapid breathing, shortness of breath, sweating, trembling, and twitching. In severe cases, excessive worrying and high anxiety can lead to the suppression of the immune system, digestive disorders, short-term memory loss. What was I saying? Premature coronary heart disease or a heart attack. Well, Jesus didn't have access to the internet in first century Palestine, but he certainly knew that worry was a bad thing. And I think we probably know that too, but for some of us, it's one thing to be told not to worry, but a totally different thing not to. So this morning, I want to look at why and how we should live without worrying. So first of all, I'm going to define some terms. Let's clarify what worry is and what it isn't. So I'm going to start off by making a distinction between worry and concern. When a situation occurs that prompts us to take action, I want to call that concern. So, for example, if Stella develops a rash, feels hot, and doesn't want to eat, that gives rise to concern for Chris and Nicola. Stella may be ill, so they do something about it. They take her to the doctor for the doctor to check Stella over and suggest a course of action. The situation gives rise to concern, which prompts us to action. But the worry approach would be to become anxious. Perhaps there's something wrong. Maybe Stella has a temperature. You don't have a temperature, do you, Stella? You feeling well today? You happy? Yeah? And she's got a little bear with her to bring her comfort. I wish I had one at the moment. But, you know, that sense of anxiety becomes, I don't know what to do. I can't settle. I'm not sure what to do. I'm feeling anxious. Worry, you see, doesn't lead to an appropriate action. Quite the reverse. It tends to immobilize us and makes it harder for us to take on board information and respond appropriately. Worry is linked to anxiety and inaction, whereas concern prompts us to appropriate action. Well, Jesus begins this section of teaching with verse 25. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Most mornings, and I think I've told you this before, Pam will ask me what I'd like for dinner that evening. Well, sometimes I respond slightly tongue-in-cheek with, well, how about swordfish today? Or could I have fillet steak rossini? To which she will answer, how about spaghetti and meatballs? And if you're not careful, you'll wear them. But the point is for us, we normally have a choice. There's always more than one thing to eat in our house, either in the fridge or the freezer. And we do, in the evening, remember to thank God for our evening meal, that we have food to eat and choice. What a simple blessing that is. And it's easily overlooked. Yes, Stella? Can I help? Am I saying things that are interesting? Probably not. Not to Stella, anyway. Last weekend, our son Tom came to stay. He brought some things back from his flat because he's moving to somewhere different. And he wanted to hang them in the wardrobe in our spare room. So Pam and I cleared some space for him the day before, and I found a jacket that I forgot I had. I'm sure we've all done this. You know, I would like to say, you know, in my defense, that I bought it in a charity shop back in the autumn. And I thought, you know, we were having a warm snap and it was a winter jacket. And I thought, well, I'll put that away and I'll get it out for the winter. And I'd forgotten that I bought it. It's sort of gray, sort of soft touch fabric. And so you'll see me wear it in the next week or two. And you'll duly make an appropriate comment about it. But, you know, it made me think, if I forgot about it, did I really need to buy it in the first place? You know, good question. And my defense would be, well, you know, it went to Bernardo's anyway. So, you know, it's good. But, you know, maybe we should only buy a new pair of shoes when an old one's worn out and we're going to throw a pair away, or we're going to give a pair of shoes to the charity shop. You know, we only buy a new shirt if we're going to throw one away or give one away. But what's Jesus really saying here? God knows we need to eat. Food isn't unimportant. I think not too many negatives in there, are there? It's been cold here this week. God knows we need clothes to wear. I wear these, you know, for modesty as well. God knows in our climate we need clothes to wear. These things matter to us, and to those with very little, these things matter a great deal. I think what Jesus is talking about is our priorities. We need to set the right priorities in life, and our top priority should be God. God created life in me, and God can be trusted with the details of my life. God has watched over the big stuff, so why shouldn't I trust him with the little stuff? 3,000 years ago, give or take, there was a type of writing in ancient Near East literature called wisdom literature. The book of Proverbs contains some of that kind of literature. So the book of Proverbs contains sayings that are deemed to be wise. They're precepts that are generally true, but not universally so. Take Proverbs 17:17, for example. I know it's going to come into the minds of many of you. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. What those verses are saying is that a friend will never let you down. Your brother will stand by you when you're going through a tough time. But sadly, some of us will have experienced times hasn't been true. To a friend for help, and we've not experienced it. We've been let down. Maybe the relationship has never recovered. Some of us maybe grieve over family relationships that have become estranged with brothers or sisters. So I think Jesus' words here fit into this category of a wisdom saying. We shouldn't interpret them to mean that we never have any concerns over food or clothing. Food banks are there to help people when they've got a genuine concern over food, and it prompts them to action, to seek food, to tide them over a difficult patch. We know that people sometimes starve. God doesn't always provide. There are 10 million hungry people in Ethiopia because the harvests have failed, and the world needs to do something about it. God sees, God cares, but do we see, do we care? Do we do something about it? God has no wallet but our wallets. What other reasons are there for us not to worry? Well, worry is an anxiety that, as I've tried to posit, causes inactivity. Worrying about the future can cause us to do nothing about the issues of today. You may have heard this story before. The managing director of a large company used to have a box on his desk. When something happened that caused him to be tempted to worry, he would reach for a piece of paper and write on it the cause for worry. And then he would put it in the box. I won't worry about it today. I will open the box next Wednesday, and then I will worry about it then. And then each Wednesday, he would open the box and go through the pieces of paper with the causes for worry written on them. And he would look at them. And he would find that most of them had come to nothing or had been worrying would have taken up energy, distracted him from the tasks in hand, and achieved nothing. Jesus said that worrying cannot add a single hour to your life. Well, in fact, everything we know now, including what we read on Boots WebMD, tells us that worry is actually harmful to your health and probably shortens your life. But these verses also remind us God knows what's happening. God cares. He doesn't ignore us. He hears prayers. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, declares the Lord, and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God has plans for each one of us, good plans. How can we be fully occupied with the challenges that God gives us if we're busy worrying unproductively about other things? We need to have a sense of living a day at a time and dealing with the events and challenges of each day as it comes, because we otherwise could be overwhelmed with worries about the future. Jesus knows that we can become so consumed with worry, it'll stop us living life to the full in the day that we're in. So these are reasons not to worry, or why we should try and stop worrying. But how do we do it? It may be unpalatable, but if we're worrying, it means we're probably not putting our trust in God enough. When we worry, in a way, we're expressing a doubt in his ability and his desire to look after us, to care for us. Do we turn to God first for help or as a last resort? The key in the passage is verse 33. Seek first his, God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. We need to seek God first, above all things, all the other distractions and tasks that take our attention. It's a question of priorities. Do we put God and the things of his kingdom first? What does it mean? When problems come, we need to turn to God first for help. So we pray about the problem, lift it to God, acknowledge the problem and ask him to deal with it or reveal the solution, and then trust that he will and not keep worrying about it. We don't just show God the problem and then keep it. We try and hand it over and let it go and leave it to God. We seek to fill our thoughts with God's desires for us and for those around us, to think about his character and try and display that character amid the issues and difficulties of our day. Many of the things in our everyday life compete for our attention. None of them are necessarily wrong things. Job and ambition, family, security, happiness, fitness, health, wealth, home, status. None of them are wrong in themselves, but any of them can push God out of first place and become an idol. We're all different, and the things that vie for our attention will be different for each of us. The things that may wake you at 4 o'clock in the morning are maybe different things from those that will wake me at 4 o'clock. But for each of us, there'll be things that are more of a weakness than for others. I've sometimes joked about having an Aston Martin. You know that. I got to see some at the London Classic Car Show on my day off this week. There was a beautiful Jaguar XK convertible, actually, in metallic green with ivory leather upholstery, 33,000 miles. I mean, it was absolutely beautiful. And, you know, it was for sale a mere $21,995. And I turned my back on it for a few minutes to watch some beautiful old English and French cars drive up and down the Grand Avenue. And when I turned back to it, it was sold. Looking forward to my birthday. But, you know, if I had an Aston Martin, would I become obsessed with it? Would it ever leave the garage? Would I be too afraid someone would key it or the rain would fall on it? You know, would I be polishing it all the time when I should be preparing sermons? You know, would it become for me an idol? You know, for someone else, it could be, fitness. You know, becoming so preoccupied with, you know, fitness and health magazines and what they eat that it becomes, you know, all-consuming. Or could it be the beautiful home and house magazines and, you know, the next-door neighbours have just had a DFS truck pull up. We've got to get to a new sofa. You know, for any of us, if these things get out of proportion, they can become idols. Seek first God's kingdom. God's good. God's loving and faithful. God is for us. That's just such an important message. He's not a big bad meanie in the sky. He loves us. If we know these things are true, then why wouldn't we want to seek the things of his kingdom? Why wouldn't we trust him for our lives? And, you know, if we don't know about God, wouldn't we want to find out more about this loving creator God who cares so much about us that he sent his son Jesus Christ to rescue us from eternal separation from him? Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your love for us. You know that we're weak. You know we're prone to worry. Help us trust you more each day and grow to be more like you in character. Help us to live one day at a time and be patient as we watch your plans unfold for us. Plans to prosper us, plans to give us hope and a future. And Lord, if there are any of us who don't know you here this morning, reveal yourself to us. In Jesus' name, amen.